Welcome to Supercharge My Practice, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a thriving and fulfilling natural therapies business. Each week, your host, Anil Mustafa, interviews leading practitioners and field experts, sharing proven tactics, inspiring stories, and actionable steps that will help you unlock your potential. Supercharge My Practice is proudly brought to you by My Appointments Practice Management System. Everybody, welcome to the Supercharge My Practice podcast. For today's episode, I wanted to take a moment to deep dive into the topic of money blocks. This is something that I believe affects many practitioners. In fact, I'm going to go as far as saying that it's something that massively affects a large chunk of business owners across most industries. And the reason for this typically stems from negative beliefs about money inherited from family or from society, which we'll deep dive into in a moment. So I want you to ask yourself, have you ever found yourself feeling stuck when it comes to money? Maybe you have big financial goals, but something always seems to be holding you back. Or perhaps you've noticed certain patterns in your spending or saving habits that don't just seem to make a lot of sense. Well, I definitely want to say that you are not alone. Money blocks are the invisible barriers that can really prevent us from achieving our financial dreams. And they can show up in many different forms, from limiting beliefs about money to unconscious behaviors that sabotage our efforts to build wealth. But the good news is that when we are able to identify our money block issues, the root cause of those issues, we have the power to overcome them. So in today's episode, we're going to be exploring what money blocks are, how they can manifest in our lives, and most importantly, strategies that we can put in place to break free from these limiting beliefs. So I want to start by asking you to ask yourself, what money blocks do you have? What limiting beliefs do you have around money? Why do you have those limiting beliefs around money? Again, our goal today is to identify the root cause of those limiting beliefs and find a way to move forward. So some of the reasons for our blocks could stem from things that, as I mentioned earlier, stem from society or from our family. For example, many of you would have heard someone somewhere, family members, it could be on TV, it could be friends, saying that money is dirty or it's evil and it doesn't grow on trees. If you've heard that before, I ask you to think about how that makes you feel. If somebody has said to you, money is dirty or it's evil, how does that make you feel? I want you to dig deep and ask yourself, what does that mean to you? Now, I also want to ask you to ask yourself if this is a limiting belief for you, if you do feel like money is the root of all evil, for example, why do you feel that way? Now, I think it would be a bit naive to say that money hasn't been used for evil purposes throughout our histories and even looking at what's happening in today's society. But the question is, are you evil? Are you planning to use money for evil? And the reality is that you're not. You wouldn't be here listening to my podcast, I'm sure, if you're planning to use money in an evil way. So money, you need to understand, is just something that we need in order to have a fair exchange of something that we want. So when we start thinking of money as just being a catalyst or a mechanism to give us what we want, we can start removing those thoughts that it's evil or that it's dirty or that it's bad. It is a reality that we are faced with today. And I find that a lot of practitioners feel negative emotions around money, and that reduces their self-worth and asking their patients because money is dirty, it's evil, right? This is what some of us are led to believe. And so when it comes time to taking money from our patients, we feel like it's bad because our services are good and we're here to help people. And therefore, some of us might actually feel bad about taking money from our clients. So if that's you, if that's something that you've heard, I want you to dig deep and ask yourself, why does that resonate with you? Why does that dig deep into you? Why does that make you feel negative about money? Now, we've often heard the saying that money doesn't grow on trees. Well, I'm going to dispel that and say that I believe that money does grow on trees, but you need to find the seed, you need to plant the seed, and you need to water it, and you need to nurture it. And if you can do all of these things, you will find that money will come to you. I don't believe that you need to chase money to make money. I think if you do the right thing by your patients, if you do the right thing by those around you, you will find that the money will naturally come. And a lot of this stems down to our client retention strategies, our efforts, our emotions, our what we say to our patients. But when you can focus on delivering value, on helping people, you will find that money does in fact grow on trees and it will come easily. Now, I've interviewed quite a lot of successful practitioners from Daniel Baden and Kira Sutherland and a few others, and they've all said the same thing. When their efforts are focused on helping their clients, the money follows. They never have to chase it. They never need to worry about being able to afford things because the money always comes because their intentions are pure. So if that's something that really affects you, I want you to dig down and work out why it is that you feel the way that you do. Another massive issue around money is scarcity. Now, I personally grew up with a family that had very, very little money. My parents struggled quite a lot. There was a lot of times where they couldn't afford to buy things that we needed, but for the most part, they could get us what we needed in the way of food and clothing and shelter. But it was a very rare occasion for us to be able to spend money on things that we wanted. And so because there was this scarcity around money, I've grown up believing that I shouldn't be spending money on things that I want. I should only be spending things on money that I need and saving money for a rainy day. In fact, that was something that my parents always drilled into us, that we shouldn't spend money frivolously. We should be using our money to buy the things that we need or saving money to buy the things that are important to us. And that is houses and, you know, having a car. And we were always led to believe that money, that credit cards were bad and we should never have credit cards and we should only buy things when we'd saved up and could afford to buy them. And that came to the same things of even holidays or even buying a car. My parents, there is no way my parents would have got a loan to buy a car. They would have dealt with something that was broken or that was barely functioning in order for them to save their money in order to buy a car outright. That's how I grew up. And so I found myself having massive issues around money, about spending money, not earning money, but spending money because of the scarcity that I had growing up and the things that my parents said to us as well. This also led to me having a lot of guilt or shame around spending money. And this also comes down to shame or guilt around wealth or success. When we have money, we attribute that a lot of the times to being successful. So if we're finding we're feeling guilt around spending money, for me, it was if I could buy something that others couldn't afford, I felt guilty for that. I felt like it wasn't fair that I could buy it when that person couldn't afford to buy it. But why is it that I feel that way? If I've worked hard and I've done everything right to earn that money, why should I be worrying about what other people can and can't afford? And this is the reality of us as caregivers, that we're here to help people. And often that makes us very empathetic people. But these are issues that I have found in myself that I think that a lot of people could really resonate with and things that we need to find ways to move past. So when we see money, we often see that as being successful. And there's that fear of being successful. There's that fear of failure. There's also fears and failures around past mistakes that we've made in managing finances. For example, some people have the limiting belief that they're not good with money or they can't afford to take risks. So if that's you, again, I implore you to think about why is it that you feel the way that you do? What past mistakes have you made around money that have limited your potential now to move forward? Now, you'll hear me saying this a lot. I do not believe there are mistakes in business. There are only lessons or wins. I'm going to repeat that again. There are no mistakes in business, only lessons or wins. So if you are somebody who's made some mistakes around money in the past, why is that defining you now? What did you learn from that process? If you learn something from that process, then you're doing well. You're moving forward in life, right? You're learning, you're growing. That is really, really important. And what you're going to find is that those past mistakes that you may have made are going to help you to make better decisions moving forward. So if you have past issues around spending money, I implore you to let those go and move forward knowing that you learned a lesson in that process. I often see people not wanting to take risks in their business, and this can come around money scarcity issues. It could be coming around the fear of failure. It could be coming around self-worth or low self-worth or self-doubt. All of these issues are going to impact your ability to earn a good income, a steady income stream from your business. So if that's you, why is it? Now, if you think about it like this, if you want to take a risk in your business, and it could be something as simple as buying some sort of product or hiring a staff member, or it could be to renting a room. If you want to take that risk, but you're too scared to because of past mistakes, because of scarcity issues, how are you going to propel your business forward? Now, I'm not saying that you should just go and spend money willy-nilly. I'm suggesting that you make calculated risks or you take calculated risks because it is the only way you're going to move forward in your business. So again, if you're leaving these money issues unaddressed, it's going to massively limit your potential for growth and expansion. It's going to stop you from taking calculated risks in your business. It's going to stop you from being innovative and moving forward in bringing new services or bringing out new products. It's going to likely lead to you underpricing your services or your products. It's going to lead to you creating barriers to wealth accumulation and financial freedom. And it's very likely going to impact your confidence and your ability to attract new opportunities as well. Now, I want to really implore you to understand that it's not your job to worry about what your clients can and can't afford in your services. And I say this because I feel like this is a huge barrier for a lot of us because we are caregivers. The large chunk of us, certainly those listening to my podcast, I believe, got into our professions because we wanted to help people. And so there's a little bit of guilt around taking money from our clients because a lot of the times we love what we do. And I'm sure a lot of us would do it for free if we didn't have to worry about money. But what we do is we project our own money issues onto our clients. And I really want to take a moment to dispel this and help you move forward. And I want to tell you that it is absolutely, unequivocally not your job to tell your to worry about whether your clients can or can't afford your services. It is your job to tell your clients what they need. After all, that's why they came to see you. They didn't come to see you for financial advice. You're not a financial planner. They didn't come to have you worry about whether they can afford to be there. They came to see you because they wanted your help. So you really need to focus on delivering value and providing your clients everything that they need in order to propel themselves forward in their own health. And you need to stop worrying about your own money issues and not project that on to your clients. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of a story about how one practitioner's money issues triggered me. I'd booked in to see a naturopath. I've got chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. You've probably heard me talk about that a lot through my podcast since the age of 15. And I still, to this day, at the age of 42, I still haven't been able to get on top of those issues. So for me, despite having grown up with issues around spending money, when it comes to my health, I will never worry about spending money on my health if I believe it's going to help me. So I found a naturopath who charged $140 for her initial consultations. And I knew that because her prices were clearly listed on her website. So I booked the appointment and showed up. And the naturopath went through and explained what she thought was going on in my body and then gave me some suggestions of what I could do. And at the end of the consultation, she went quiet. And there was this awkward silence there. So I felt like I needed to come to the rescue and jump in and say something. And so my first thought was, okay, great. Thanks for that advice. When do you want to see me again? And the first issue to show me that this practitioner significantly lacked confidence was how she stumbled on telling me when to come back. So her response went something along the lines of, it'd be good if you could come back next month, if that's okay, if that suits you, but it's going to cost $140 if you can afford that. Now, what do you think my first reaction was? One, practitioner wasn't confident in helping me because she wasn't confident in telling me when to come back to see her. Two, that she didn't value herself as a practitioner to believe that she was worth $140 that I was about to pay her for that session or for me to pay her again for a subsequent session. The third was, and most importantly, the one that really triggered me was, oh my God, can I afford that? Now, as I said to you earlier, when it comes to spending money on my health, there's no barriers. I will spend everything that I need to spend on my myself when it comes to health, because to me, there's nothing more important than our health. And so my thought process went, oh my God, I can't afford that. That's a lot of money. I'm so guilty. I'm so bad. I'm such a bad mother. How could I spend this $140 on myself? Should I have saved that money for a rainy day? Should I have spent that money on my kids? Is there something that my kids or my husband need? So I spiraled into this place of starting to feel guilt for having spent money on myself because of this practitioner's own money issues. So that then led me into this massive spiral of going, okay, for the next 6 months, my symptoms got worse and I did nothing about it because for the next six months, I had to work on my money issues and convincing myself that it was okay for me to spend money on my health. Finally, after 6 months, my symptoms had gotten quite bad and I really needed support. So I asked around and found a naturopath who charged almost double for the initial consultation. She sent me for over $700 worth of testing and asked me to purchase about $300 worth of products. So the initial consultation was over $1,000. Massive amount of money to be paying for your health, right? And I'm not going to lie and say to you, I spent it without thinking twice. I did spend it. And the reason why I spent it was because this practitioner gave me the confidence that this is exactly what I needed in order for me to take the next step on my health journey. So yes, there was that little bit of, oh my God, that's a lot of money. But I moved past that very quickly and didn't hesitate to spend the money on myself because, again, the practitioner made me see and understand why I needed to do all of these things and how it was going to benefit me. So let me ask you, have you ever let your own money insecurities get in the way of your client's care? Again, it is not your job to worry about whether or not your patients can afford your services. It is only your job to deliver value and give them the information they need to move forward. Now, a lot of the times, especially in today's economic situation, we do worry about whether people can afford our services, but did that person book the appointment with you? Did they show up for the appointment? If so, you can bet your bottom dollar that they can afford to be there. They've chosen consciously to be there with you. They are ready for your advice. They know that it's not one visit that's going to fix them. They know that they're going to need subsequent visits in the vast majority of cases. So again, stop letting your own triggers get in the way. Work through your own money issues, deliver value to your clients, and stop worrying about whether or not they can afford to be there for you. The other thing I wanted to really talk about is possible triggers, because we can work past our money block issues, but we can still be triggered by external factors that bring those feelings or those limiting beliefs back. So while it's important to work on your money block issues, you also need to understand what the triggers may be and what you can do about those triggers in order to stop them from allowing you to spiral backwards and allow you to keep moving forward. The good thing is that once you identify what your money block issues are, you can work past them a lot quicker if there are triggers that are coming along for you. So some of possible triggers might be you seeing others showing or talking a lot about their wealth. This is something I see massively, especially on Instagram. I don't think it's a good thing personally, but there's so many people that are out there flaunting their wealth and saying how much money they made by doing X, Y, Z. Now, the intention of them sharing this wealth journey is to show you that they did it and therefore you should pay them money to help you do these things as well. That's often what happens. But sometimes it might be that we see a family member or a friend who's going on holidays and we can't afford it. And so naturally we start bringing up those emotions around money and the limiting beliefs that we have. Sometimes we could be triggered by making more money than we had expected, or that money has come too easily. We've been led, another common thing that we've been told as kids is that we need to work hard to make money. And so if you're finding that the money is coming easily to you, you might be feeling guilty about that. You might be feeling like it shouldn't be this easy, or you've done something wrong, or that you're not a good person because you didn't work hard. But let me tell you, you do not need to work your guts out and work hard the way our parents did in order to make good money in this day and age. You just need to be smart about how you use your time in order to maximize your earning potential without burning yourself out. So if that's you, if you're feeling guilt because you didn't work hard enough to make money, again, work out why you feel that way and what you can do to move forward. A lot of us have massive, massive triggers around money blocks when it comes to increasing our prices as well. Or when we've got unexpected expenses that show up, we start moving into that scarcity issue. We start moving into that fear. And you never make good decisions when you make decisions from a place of fear. A lot of the times we can make, we're triggered by financial decisions as well. For example, if we need something or we want to purchase something for our businesses, sometimes our money block issues will be triggered there because we're worried about, should we be spending this money again? Is that a money scarcity thing? Is it a self-worth thing? Is it a self-doubt thing because you don't believe that you are capable of being successful in your business? A lot of the times it can also stem from personal relationships, people saying something to you about money or how you've spent money or giving you feedback or criticism about some of the financial decisions that you've made. So once you've been able to identify possible triggers, then you can take steps to mitigate those risks by working out what will you do if you see somebody, if it's a trigger for you to see somebody talking or flaunting their wealth on social media, what can you do about that if that happens? And the first thing you can do is be happy for those people. Instead of thinking about what you don't have, be happy that that person was able to achieve something. Why? Because that actually helps you see that you can do it too. So I want you to think about your possible triggers and what you can do about those triggers if you do face them. Now, some of the action steps that we can put in place in order to help us overcome those limiting beliefs around money, particularly when it comes to asking clients to pay for our services, is to put your prices on your website. You can include them in a welcome email that you should be sending to your clients. A good practice management system, something certainly that we've done through the My Appointments platform, is to automatically send a welcome email to every client. If you need to, put your prices in your welcome email if they're not already on your website. If a patient is calling you to book an appointment, tell them on the phone what the cost of the appointment is so that when they show up there, you know that there's no surprises. You know that they're there because they can afford to be there. Positive affirmations are really, really powerful. Now, some of you might think positive affirmations are a little bit woo-woo. I personally find them really, really magical. They really take me to a positive place and they kind of help me see that anything is possible. Tell yourself that money does grow in trees. Again, you can find the right seed, plant it, and water it. Gratitude journaling is also highly, highly powerful, as is visualization. So writing a gratitude journal daily, I think for me, that's what I do every day, is that I'll sit down and write all of the things that I'm thankful for because it helps me see exactly what I have and how lucky I am to have the things that I have in my life. Other action steps you can take are to set clear financial goals and create actionable plans on how you're going to achieve them. Talk through your money mindset issues as well is also really, really powerful. So if for you, you have something that you've been told as a child from your parents, can you go sit down and talk to them about those issues and ask them, do they feel the same? I know that if I went to my parents today and talked to them about the things that they told us as children, they would not feel the same today. So who can you talk out your money issues with? Can you go to the source of the trigger? Can you just talk it out with a friend and ask them how they manage those things? Another way that you can move forward is to start taking calculated risks. Start with baby steps, spending money on something that you really need or something that you really want in your business and seeing if it helps you. It's really important to step out of our comfort zones if you want to expand your financial comfort and if you want to really grow as a business. And again, don't concern yourself with the outcome. A lot of the times we get hung up on the outcome and we don't take positive steps forward because we're scared about the outcome. But remember, there's no failures in business, there's only lessons. So take calculated risks. Try coming out of your comfort zone because what you're going to find is that when you work outside of your comfort zone, you are going to grow exponentially. And when you take that step to move or do something outside of your typical comfort zone, you're going to see how much easier it is. And then it's going to make life so much more positive for you rolling forward. Now, there's a saying that it's not the thing about that you think about the thing. It's how you think about the thing, right? A terrible, terrible way of putting that forward. But it's never the thing that you think about the thing. It's the thing, right? So what does that mean? It means it's we're worrying about the outcome of something, not the actual thing that we're working with. So stop letting what might happen get in your way and instead try it and see what happens and don't be attached to the outcome. If it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out, that's okay. You've learned something. You can move forward. So to finish off with this episode, I want to recap that I want you to sit down and map out what is your trigger. What, write down all of your limiting beliefs around money. What are your issues? What do you feel about money? How does it make you feel when you think about money? And then I want you to think about what led to you believing or feeling the way that you do. Once you've worked that out, I want you to put an action step in place. What are you going to do to overcome those things? And then I want you to write down some positive affirmations. Now, the beauty about positive affirmations is that the more we read them, the more we believe them. So I implore you to write down some positive affirmations, and I'll give you a couple of examples in a moment, and print them out and read them every single day, morning and night. If you need to, laminate it, put it in the shower. So while you're in the shower, you can just read through those limiting beliefs. Put it on the back of the toilet door, put it on your mirror, somewhere that you're going to frequent regularly, and read them on a regular basis until you start believing that what these things, the limiting beliefs, are no longer issues for you. So here's a couple of suggestions for you around positive affirmations that might work, but I implore you to come up with your own or customize these a little bit more so that they really suit your thoughts, your beliefs, and your voice. So number one, I release all limiting beliefs about money and embrace abundance in all areas of my life. Number two, I am worthy of success and prosperity, and I attract wealth with ease and confidence. Number three, money flows to me effortlessly, and I am open to receiving all the abundance the universe has to offer. Number four, I'm in control of my finances, and I make wise decisions that lead to financial abundance and freedom. Number five, I deserve to live a life of abundance, joy, and fulfillment. I am grateful for the wealth that surrounds me. So write down your action steps, write down your positive affirmations, write down your triggers, write down all of the things that led you to believe the way that you believe now, and find a way to move yourself forward. And again, don't let yourself continuously slip into these bad habits. Once you identify them, you can move forward a lot more faster if there is something that triggers you. I'd really love to know if there was something in this podcast that really resonated with you. So jump onto my social media page, _AnilMustafa_. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks for listening in. Thank you for tuning in today, and I look forward to having you join me in the next episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to stay up to date with the latest releases. And for more helpful tips, look for me on Instagram under the handle Supercharge My Practice. This podcast is proudly sponsored by My Appointments.